teach or preach a little bit this evening. I'm going to be looking in a couple of these chapters here in the book of Acts this evening, just kind of brushing over them. And the thoughts that I'm wanting to give you is the defense of the Apostle Paul, the defense of the Apostle Paul, and how to also win the hard-hearted. The Apostle Paul, if you know much about his life, if you know much about things that the Apostle Paul faced, the men that he faced, the man that he was before God saved him, they were a pretty rough crowd. Now, they were religious. They were very religious. But, I mean, they were ready to put people to death. Now, they had no problem putting people to the death that did not believe the way that they believed. And so Paul, being who that he was, and we'll see his testimony, his defense. His testimony is his defense. And you need to remember that. Your defense of what you believe, it should be your testimony. I mean, if you want to say the rubber meets the road and someone's, trying to tighten the screws on you, your defense is your testimony. What Christ did for you. What you know what the Lord did for you. We'll look at a couple of things. Paul said in chapter 22, verse 1, he said, men, brethren, and fathers. Now, I like that. And I'll tell you why I like that. Paul, he has been identified not only as a Jew, but as a Roman citizen. And they were going to, put him, they bound him, and which they were not supposed to bind a Roman citizen, without charging, without having some charge. And so Paul was in chapter 21, he was arrested, he was bound, and it was, those Jews, those Judaizers, that the high priest and them that so wanted the men of the early church put to death, and they wanted Paul put to death. I mean, during this course, there were a group of these men that had made a pact with one another that they were not going to eat or drink until they had killed Paul. Think about that. Now, that's hate. That's a real hate toward somebody. And so Paul is giving his testimony here in chapter 22. And he says, men, brethren, and fathers. Now, that statement goes all the way back to what Stephen said when he stood being accused. He started out the same way, I believe it is in chapter 7. He said, men, brethren, and fathers. That was the first light that Paul had ever heard of a testimony concerning someone saved and saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul stood by holding the coats of them that were going to stone Stephen. And so he was with them, and he heard Stephen say that. And this is just my personal belief. I believe that introduction that stayed with Paul. I mean, when you hear something, I mean, it sticks with you. You're apt to use it. And it was the exact same words, not men and brethren. He's used that many times, men and brethren. It was men, brethren, and fathers. Hear ye my defense. Paul's defending himself, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. So Paul is speaking to them in their language, speaking to them where they can understand. If you're going to defend yourself, listen, you have to get on that person's level where they can understand what you're saying. I mean, there's people that I can talk to about the Lord, and I could, talk to them about some theology and some soteriology and a lot of different things, and they'd look at you like a calf looking at a new gate. Why? They're not familiar with some of the words of doctrines and theology that we may use in our understanding of doctrine and of the Bible. So you have to get on people's level to where they can understand. You have to make it to where they can understand. If you say something and you're not sure whether they understand, you have to explain it to where they can understand. And so he said, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. So they had heard him speak in Hebrew tongue, and he said, I am verily a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. Now, the first thing Paul said in his defense, he said, I am verily a man. I'm just like you. They had said before, people thought they were gods at some time. There were some people wanted to, make Paul and Silas like they were gods. And, Paul knew these men, but maybe they thought that Paul thought himself to be of that sort. So he makes it very clear, I'm a man. I don't think myself any different than you. I am a man. I'm a man just like you, and I'm a Jew just like you, born in Tarsus, like many of them, a city of Cilicia. And he said this, brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel. Now, they knew who Gamaliel was. He was a teacher of the law. Probably the greatest at that time, teacher of the law. When people were learning the law, and I mean, many of these men that were of the Sanhedrin probably learned what they learned at the feet of Gamaliel, just like Paul did. Gamaliel was a teacher of the law, and he said, I was brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel. You've heard people say this. I was brought up in church. I broke my teeth on the back of an old hymnal songbook. Well, Paul, he's saying, look, I was brought up right at his feet. And so he's letting them know his life is no different than their lives. They know him. They know who he is. He's Saul. He's now going by Paul, but he is Saul. I'm the one that's been brought. I'm a man just like you. I was born here. I speak Hebrew, and I was taught by Gamaliel. And he said, I was taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God as ye all are this day. I was as zealous toward God as you are. No different. He wasn't light on the scripture. He didn't dance along the fence. Are you listening to me? He wasn't just half taught, ignorant. No, he was as educated in the law as any of them. If they had something they wanted, if they wanted to speak concerning the resurrection, he could speak to them about it. If the Sadducees wanted to try to put up an argument concerning no angels and no resurrection, Paul could stand with the best of them. He knew what the law had said. He knew. And so he's defending them, saying, I'm just like you, I'm zealous just like you, and I persecuted this way unto the death. The way that I am right now, I persecuted it and persecuted it unto the death. I hated Christians as much as any of you hated Christians. I had them killed. That's what he was saying. Binding and delivering into prison both men and women. Now listen, not everybody did that, but Paul did. Paul did. A lot of them men, listen, they'd be glad to testify, but to actually be the one to bind them and haul them to prison and make sure they're put to death. I mean, even the Jews, listen, that had Jesus crucified, what were they doing constantly? They were constantly trying to, you Romans, crucify him for us. If y'all do that, they didn't want their hands dirty. But Paul, he wasn't afraid to get his hands dirty. He was ready. He said, I persecuted this way. I persecuted this way unto the death. As also the high priest doth bear me witness. He knows me. And all the estate of the elders, they know me, from whom also I receive letters. These men sent me letters. They know they sent me letters to go get these people and bring them back bound to have them killed. They're the ones that wrote me the letters. Listen, I promise you, the mayor up here, he knows who the sheriff is. If he's going to have somebody arrested and he sends a letter to the sheriff, later on he's not, I can't remember if I ever sent, I'm not even sure if I know him too well. No, he knows him. He knows his office and he knows him. And that's the way it was here. They knew him. They knew what, they had no problem with him. They loved him, as a matter of fact. Not a doubt in my mind. This is our man. I mean, this man, I mean, listen, he's as zealous as anybody. And he's gonna clean this house up. Amen. He'll get these Christians and he'll have them all put to death and we'll be done with them. And they knew it. They found accusation, wrote letters, gave Paul the bills to go and pick them up. He said, these high priests bear me witness, the elders do, of whom I've received letters, went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey, I was going there to do that, and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. Now, how can you do anything about that? Here he is. This is his defense. I'm going to do what I have always been doing, what I was zealous to do. And I was almost there to do it. And there's a great light shone around me at about noon. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, who art thou, Lord? Listen, now he's defending himself. He's telling exactly what happened to him on that road, what he heard. Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. I'd say, I'm telling you what, that tightened that crowd up right then. There he was, a man just like they were, And on the noon road to Damascus, a light shined out of heaven and shined down on him, caused him to go to the earth. A voice come out of heaven and said, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. They that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, arise and go to Damascus. And there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. He's got a new appointment. I received a new appointment from the Lord. Amen. Everything that I had been doing previously had come to an end because of this right here. I've got a new appointment. I've got a new engagement. I've got a new job to do because of the voice that I heard from heaven that told me he was Jesus, whom I persecuted. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. Listen, boys, it blinded me. The men that were with me saw the light, and they had to lead me on into Damascus to one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there. He just wasn't some crazy man over here. He's a very devout Jew. Came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. This man, by the hand of God, opened my eyes. And he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee. God chose me. God chose me, fellas. This is my defense. I was just like you, and I thought I was doing God's chosen business, God's will. But then God really chose me. God chose me to do something. That was his testimony. God chose me. That thou shouldest know his will and see the just one and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. God chose me to see the just one. Not everybody sees him. And God chose me to hear him. I saw him and I heard him. Fellas, it'd be just like if you went down the road to bring the letter to me and it happened to you. What would you do? I'm telling you what happened to me. This is what Paul is experiencing before these men. Men that he knows, men that knows him. Listen, when you testify to people, you just have to let them know, especially the hard. This very thing could have happened to you and can happen to you if God so chose it. And I don't know why, because I was going to persecute God's people and God chose me while I was on the road going to do that. God chose me to be his witness, verse 15. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. Now, what do you think Paul did? Everywhere he went, he told people what he had seen and what he had heard. He told people what happened on the Damascus Road. Listen, your salvation experience should be enough to tell the whole world and lead them to the Lord. Listen, you may not even understood completely everything that happened at your salvation experience. But the more you learn about God's Word, the more you grow as a Christian, then the more you see this is what He did. This is what He did in my life. This is what God did. God convicted me and drew me. God used His Word and gave me faith. God let me, not with physical eyes, but let me see through the eyes of faith that His Son was my Savior. That I needed Him. Amen. And so, Paul is giving them his defense. His defense is his testimony. Now, Paul, in chapter 23, he begins to address the council. And he said, Paul earnestly beholding the council. Listen, if you're ever going to do anything earnest and know how important it is, when you testify before those, that's the time. He is as earnest, beholding the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." That's a good way to live. Do you know that? Live with a good conscience before God. And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. What about that? Just for saying. I've stood in good conscience before God. Evidently, Ananias didn't think Paul did. Now, this is the chapter where the conspiracy to kill Paul took place. He's still defending himself with his testimony. And from verse 12 on down, you'll find those men that didn't. They said, "We're not going to eat or drink until this man's dead." And those Roman soldiers, listen, they had heard of what was taking place. And Paul saved Paul out of the midst of them that would have killed him. But he was still bound for his life. He was taken to Caesarea. And Paul, in chapter number 24, Paul started to speak before Felix. And Paul began his defense in chapter 24, verse 10, before Felix. The Bible said in verse 10, "Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, 'For as much as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself.'" I'm happy to tell you about this whole ordeal. Why? It's another opportunity for Paul to give somebody, even somebody high up, his testimony. "Because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man." Now listen, there's one thing to talk with somebody and you can try to help them see the light of the truth. But when you get to the place where you're disputing back and forth, listen, that's not going to do anything. Most of the time you see young believers out trying to, disputing. like they're trying to convince the world. You don't need to dispute. It's the truth. There's nothing to dispute. We have the truth. When you have the truth, there's nothing to dispute. I don't have to dispute. I tell the truth. I speak the truth in Christ. You speak the truth in Christ. There is no dispute. Regardless of what they say, you know you have the truth. You present the truth. You share the truth. And you cheerfully answer for yourself. He said they didn't found me, neither found they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city. That's what they had accused him. He was getting everybody in an uproar. Now, Paul wasn't trying to get everybody stirred up in an uproar. He didn't need to. If the Spirit of God can't move people to real salvation, Paul trying to stir people toward God, are you listening to me? He wasn't going to do that. And most of the time, people, when they're done that way, it's usually done to the hurt of the other side. When you get people, you know, stirred up, raised up like that. Neither can they prove the things whereof now they accuse me. Well, listen, I heard somebody say one time that, and it was talking about when Jesus gave the Beatitudes, blessed art thou when thou art persecuted for my word's sake. And then he said, for my name's sake. And I heard a man say this, and it goes right along with this. People may persecute you. And they may, blessed are you when they falsely accuse you. They may accuse you, but always let it be falsely accusing. Don't ever let it be that they could prove. I mean, we should live the kind of life where there are lies, they cannot prove them. Paul knew they couldn't prove the things that they were lying about. That wasn't him. That wasn't his character. He didn't do those things. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers. They're calling it heresy. I call it worship. Believing in all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God. Verse 15, and that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. You can't argue with a man that lives like that. He's not a man that's going about to stir people up with lies. Is a man that's living with a conscience void of offense. That I know even in my conscience, I've not offended somebody. Nor have I offended God. Right there is usually where we'll find an offense first. It'll begin to work on our conscience. Reckon that person got hurt? Or reckon God's got that marked against me. Reckon I've hurt my fellowship with the Lord. And our conscience is offended. Paul said, I live void of that. Void of that. Listen, when you stand before someone to witness, especially the hard-hearted. Listen, you stand there and make sure your mind and your heart is void of offense toward God and toward man. How can I tell someone about the love of Christ if I hate someone that same day? I'm not going to win the person I'm talking to. I need to live what I preach. Live what we believe. And so Paul was before him. I'm going to try to wrap this up. Paul appealed to be before Caesar, which God had said there was a prophet. I believe it was in chapter 22 that said, thou must appear at Rome. And so all of this is the will of God getting Paul to Rome. He's going to stand before Caesar at Rome, one way or another. And so he appeals unto Caesar in chapter 25 at the end of verse number 11. And King Agrippa visits Festus and goes over. And Festus orders a hearing. And then Paul appears before Agrippa in chapter 26. Paul described his conversion again. Verse 12, chapter 26. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, them which journeyed with me. And then he told them, those of you that have a red letter Bible, you'll see in verse 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18, words in red, that Jesus was speaking to Saul and telling him what he was called to do. And in verse 19, he said, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Verse 21, for these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God. Listen, if you're being God's witness, you're going to get help of God. Regardless of what stands against, if we are standing with the Lord, we're going to find help of God. You know this story in verse 24. Let's read it. I'm about done. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. I've got the truth, Festus. I've got the truth. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then King Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. One of the hardest men. But listen, this man, he knew what the prophets and the law said. And he believed them. Or at least he thought he did. And hearing the testimony, hearing the testimony of the Apostle Paul and the words that Christ told Paul almost persuaded him to be a Christian. Do you think Paul fell short of what he was supposed to do right here? No, it's not in Paul's hand to save or to not save. Men trembled before him at his words. Only the Lord can save. But when Paul is defending himself at Rome before Caesar, his defense was simply, I was a sinner like every other man. And this is what happened to me. And I know it to be true. And it lines up with the truth. And this is what I've been doing ever since, telling others what Jesus told me to tell them. Nothing short other than what Christ did for him. Paul stood and he even said, I'm not even worthy to be a Christian because I persecuted the church. I'm not worthy to be an apostle because of the things I did. That was always weighing on him. But he knew. He said, it's a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. He saved the chief of sinners. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's so much in those chapters right there at the end. His defense and his testimony. You get in that and read that and learn it and study it and see the example that God, what God did in the Apostle Paul's life. Listen, it's the same thing he did in your life if you're saved. You've got your own story. And when the world is calling all of us crazy, Brother Danny, and saying that we're the wrong ones, we know we have the truth. And we can speak that truth in love. Amen. Let's all stand together this evening.